Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
A little give and take in Europe.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. As you probably know, Europe is being pretty aggressive on global warming. One of its goals is to dramatically reduce car emissions. Today, the European Commission is expected to unveil a compromise plan for this. Car makers would have to cut their carbon dioxide output by 18% instead of 25%. Marketplace's Stephen Beer joins us from London. So we have a compromise. Is everybody happy about it?
It would be safe to say that not everyone is happy. European environmentalists say we'd rather the whole 25% cut in carbon emissions was borne by the car manufacturing industry, whereas the car makers say, yes, 18% is better than 25%, but still it's imposing a very heavy burden on the industry, and it's going to add, according to one estimate, as much as $3,000 to the cost of a new car.
Now, this would cover American cars as well that are sold in Europe?
The industry's argument is a little dubious that this would unfairly affect European car makers, because indeed Japanese, South Korean, or indeed American cars sold within the European Union would have to comply with this regulation.
But when you think about European cars, even within Europe, there's quite a bit of difference in, say, the size of cars made by the French and the Italians versus the size of the cars made by Germany.
That's exactly right, and that's why most of the opposition have come from the Germans and not from the French or the Italians.
All right, Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Scott.
Stephen Beard in London. Walmart says it will appeal a ruling, if necessary, all the way to the Supreme Court. A federal appeals court yesterday upheld a decision that granted class action status to a lawsuit accusing Walmart of paying women less than men. This is the biggest employment lawsuit in U.S. history. At least 1.5 million current and former female employees could sue the company as a group. I might as well read Monday's numbers from Wall Street. Things didn't change much on Tuesday. The Dow gained 4 points to 12,666. The Nasdaq put on less than a point to 2,471. The S&P 500 gained a point to 1,448. Hedge funds are kind of like Wall Street's country clubs. You can't get in unless you have a lot of money, $100,000 minimum investment. But by the end of this week, one hedge fund will open its doors to everybody. Amy Scott explains.
Most people can't afford to invest directly in hedge funds, but more and more hedge fund management companies are going public. That means any investor can buy shares on the stock market. The Fortress IPO, expected this Friday, the first by an American company, will give smaller investors a chance to cash in on the success of the notoriously secretive partnerships. It could also make the funds less secretive.
The veils start to disappear in an IPO.
Tom Whalen heads advisory firm Greenwich Alternative Investments. He says the industry should benefit from the extra scrutiny public companies face.
Because it demystifies so much of the process and it brings the management companies into the mainstream.
Hedge fund IPOs could soon hit the mainstream. Analysts expect several more in the coming year. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation, online at kauffman.org.
The chit-chat in Washington this week is mostly about President Bush's $3 trillion budget and the cool reception from the Democrats in Congress. There will be months of back and forth over what's in there. The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office will provide a lot of information during this process. But commentator Newt Gingrich says the CBO often misses the mark.
The Congressional Budget Office's budget forecasts are routinely way off, sometimes by hundreds of billions of dollars. And that's because their analysts seem unable or unwilling to take into account things like competition, the building blocks of pro-growth policies. Take their forecast on the average cost of a prescription drug plan under Medicare Part D. Their estimate, it would cost $38 a month. In fact, the average cost ended up being $24 a plan in the program's first year. And in 2007, the average cost of a plan will be $22, thanks to competition. Finally, the CBO can't tell the difference between operating cost and investment. One recent bill would have gone a long way toward laying the foundation for nationwide electronic health records. It failed thanks to CBO cost estimates. CBO refused to take into account the money electronic medical records would save Medicare and Medicaid by reducing prescription errors caused by bad handwriting and other problems tied to paper records. Many experts estimated the investment would pay for itself in 5 years. The result of all this bad scoring is that politicians end up tailoring bills to get a good CBO score instead of aiming for good public policy. And to add insult to injury, the CBO keeps its scoring models a secret, so nobody knows what methods they use in their predictions. Congress should insist CBO open up its practices for public scrutiny. Taxpayers deserve transparency when it comes to how their money will be spent. And members of Congress committed to more accurate scoring should work together to release alternative scoring to the CBO for every piece of legislation introduced. They should use modern economic models that are also public. That way, over time, it would be obvious whose methods are most accurate and most cost-effective for all of us.
The thoughts of former House Speaker Newt Gingrich. Share your opinions with us at marketplace.org. Satellite radio has channels devoted exclusively to one artist. For the first time, one of them is jumping ship. The Frank Sinatra channel will switch from XM to Sirius. The new channel will be called Seriously Sinatra. And Nancy will get to perform during her own weekly show. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic...
American Public Media.